हरिः ओम् तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ओम् It is why any form of worship is significant and any prayer is effective. So prayer and worship as karma, prayer as a karma, worship as a karma definitely produces phalam. The worship blesses one with all artha kamas, really, prosperity. Worship is definitely effective, prayer is effective. But any karma phalam, as I said, as a karma, the phalam will be what? Only time bound, artha kama dharma. But that does not mean you should not pray, you should not pray for, you should not worship. You should pray, you should worship. But now I can tell you, worship and karma, worship and prayer as karma, they produce phalam, punya phalam and all that, effective. How can worship and prayer come to an end? Nobody is really interested in always praying for something or the other. That means prayer should come to an end one day or the other. Prayer should come to an end. One day I should stop asking and begging for something. I should say, Bhagavan, thank you very much again, everything. I don't need anything. We should be able to say that. When can we say that? When will prayer come to an end? When will worship come to an end? That's why we say prayer and worship will come to an end only in jnanam. Prayer and worship should culminate in jnanam. Knowledge. So the one who is worshipful and prayerful is the person definitely who believes in the existence of reality, who believes in the existence of the Lord, which is the reality, not any other Lord, okay? The reality, the truth, which is the Lord, and then one who worships and one who is prayerful, one who... See, sometimes faithlessly or faithfully, people worship faithlessly also sometimes, know that? Mechanically also people. Why? Because out of fear, God fearing. Just to feel secure, out of fear also people go and worship and pray. Because I know many people go into temple like that. And what? I'm going. Okay, I'm going. I don't know whether it's really useful or not. People say this. That means, well, they're not very clear about what they're doing. These are very simple, ordinary people. I don't say, but I tell you, the person who worships and prays is very intelligent. One must be very intelligent to be genuinely prayerful and worshipful. An ordinary person cannot be genuinely prayerful and worshipful. Very intelligent person really is prayerful and worshipful. But whoever is worshipful and prayerful need not be intelligent. So whoever believes in the existence of the reality, existence of Ishvara, and who believes in the efficacy of prayer, believes in the significance of worship, and who are worshipful and prayerful, is definitely, now, is a religious person. He is religious. Definitely religious. If the prayer and worship have to come to an end, it is not enough if he is merely religious. He should be spiritual. Understand? Only when this person is all becomes spiritual, if he is spiritual also, then this prayer and worship will come to an end. That means how this person who is religious, if he knows the limitations of karma. If he knows that prayer is a karma, if he knows worship is that worship is a karma, it is definitely effective. But still, any karma is only limited in nature. And second thing, if he knows what he is really ultimately seeking in life, and which we call it Purushartha Nischeha. I've been talking to all of you for many times, in every class I use this word Purushartha Nischeha. Why? Because very important word, Purushartha Nischeha. No? Yeshaha eva mo purushartha vastutaha. Indeed, in fact, this is my ultimate purushartha. This is what is ultimately sought after. This is what I'm really seeking in life, ultimately, through all these pursuits and accomplishments. This is what I'm seeking in my life. If it is very clear for him, then we can, that is what is purushartha nischaya. This is what is my end, ultimate end. If something is very clear, if that, so nischayaha means being definite, okay? Definiteness. About definiteness, about what? Being definite about one's purushartha, the end, human pursuit. The ultimate human pursuit. What is it ultimately human being pursuing? Now, what is ultimately human being wants is peaceful, okay, peace. He wants to be peaceful and happy. And which is possible only if he is free from all sorts of problems, he is be peaceful and happy. Therefore, we call that freedom from all these limitations as mokshaha. Therefore, our shastra calls it purusharthas always. Shastra study begins with the understanding of purusharthas. No shastra study will be effective and useful if one studies shastra without understanding what are the human pursuits. This is very important to have. That's why aram puru inbam vidu. What are these four purusharthas? That has to become very clear. What is artha? What is kama? What is dharma? What is mokshaha? How moksha is the ultimate? What the word mokshaha mean? Actually, mokshaha, what is the word mokshaha actually means? And why it is a choiceless end? Why choiceless end? We have to understand the fact involved. When I say moksha is a choiceless end, it has to be very clear. What choice do I have about seeking happiness? Can I say, okay, I don't mind having unhappiness in my life? Can I say that? I can't say that. Definitely what I want in life is, I want to be peaceful and happy. Which mind says that? That is why it is a common human universal end we say that. Moksha is not only Hindu wants, only Muslim wants, only Christian wants. Every human mind, what you look at is a human, it is a common human universal end. Universal end, this is moksha. Only the people don't recognize it. This is what I'm seeking, I'm not very clear about. They say moksha is not somewhere going somewhere, happening afterwards or after the death. This moksha is something to be discovered in this life while you are living, while you are alive. That is why purushartha nischeha is very, very important, for which analysis of purusharthas are very important. In fact, all that purusharthas have to be understood very clearly. What is that? What are all these human pursuits? What is artha? What is kamaha? What is dharmaha? How pursuit of artha is important? How pursuit of kama is also important? How important it is to live a life of dharma? At the same time, what artha cannot do? What artha can do? What is the limitation of artha, kama, dharma? What it cannot do? What is that moksha? Wow, it is choiceless ultimate end. That means, for which jnanam is the only means, because it is to be discovered. No? That is why all these things be very clear. That's why the person who knows these purusharthas, one who has analyzed purusharthas, one who is very clear about the importance and necessity of pursuing artha, kama and dharma without looking down upon them, now with shraddha, in conformity with dharma, knowing their limitations, what they can give, what they cannot give, at the same time, his ultimate end being choiceless and with moksha, okay, one who is committed to the pursuit of moksha. in the form of knowledge. One who is committed to the pursuit of knowledge of the reality, knowledge of Ishvara, Ishvara Swarupa Jnanam, Mama Swarupa Jnanam, Asmin Janmani Bhavatveva, may it happen in this life itself for me, with that commitment, okay, one who lives, pursues Artha and Kama in conformity with Dharma, ultimately for Jnanam, which is Mokshaha. One who lives this life, okay, then he is spiritual. Without purushartha jnanam, without purushartha nischayaha. Okay, what is without knowledge of purusharthas, purushartha nischayaha is not possible. Definiteness about one's ultimate end being moksha will not be clear. Without that being clear, knowledge itself being moksha, knowledge of the reality, knowledge of what happiness is, knowledge of what moksha is, being knowledge and moksha being identical will not be very clear. Understand, without that, it is not possible for one to be committed to the pursuit of knowledge. Without being committed to the pursuit of knowledge as an ultimate human goal, the whole life is lived, becomes meaningful also only when the knowledge becomes the ultimate end for us. That is why this is there's a meaning. That is why in Tamil also we say karpa karna karka kasadara karpavai karpavai katrapin panmai. It is in plural, but it is a nirka adarkuttaha. Okay, then stand by that ultimately for the wise singular, not avaikuttaha. Okay, what I'm saying here is very important to know. The ultimate, this purushartha must be very, very clear. Without that, it is not possible. Then, that is when there is commitment to the pursuit of knowledge of the reality, as something which is identical with moksha, his ultimate goal, then he becomes spiritual. Till then, there's no spirituality. Understand, spiritual person, if with this, with purushartha nischaya, with the commitment to the pursuit of knowledge of the reality, if a person is now worshipful and prayerful, then he definitely, his worship and prayer will come to an end. It will culminate in jnanam, which is moksha. In fact, a spiritual person is definitely a religious person. He is worshipful, he is prayerful, because he always seeks, even if he is committed to the pursuit of knowledge, he has to account for, he has to tackle the pratibandhas ordained by prarabdha. He has to tackle the obstacles in his pursuit, obstacles which he comes across in his life, it ordained by prarabdha karma phala. So how will he tackle, for which he needs the strength, Every time, he knows, okay, end is jnanam, end is moksha, live life of dharma, pursuing artha kama, ultimately for jnanam, he tries to be meditative and contemplative and hardy, everything he is doing. But there may be obstacles, lot of obstacles, pratibandhas. Why? Because of his own prarabdha karma phalam. Then how will he tackle them? That is why he needs strength, and for which strength he needs Bhagavan's grace again. Whose grace? Grace of the devatas, grace of the phenomena, grace of the nature, which is Ishvara for us. Understand? That's why nature is never a bundle of energy. Nature is always full of awareness, like a manifestation of knowledge here. The very perception is different. Then he sees grace, anugraha. Okay, that grace is very, very important. A spiritual person is the one who really seeks grace. Understand? Grace, who believes in grace, tapping grace, believes in grace, therefore he can also he will be to manage the situations, to manage, neutralize the pratibandhas ordained by prarabdha. He is worshipful and prayerful, because worship and always prayer gives strength. By prayer one can really tap any amount of tremendous amount of strength. Therefore, he is also prayerful and worshipful. Therefore, definitely any spiritual person is definitely an intelligent, he is intelligent person. He worships and he prays. Therefore, he is religious also. I've been telling this in many of my classes. It's not a new thing. But in this context, I'm bringing them back. And as a person committed to the pursuit of knowledge, he also knows knowledge is, he is not going to attain the reality, because reality is already there. Only his ignorance alone keeps him away. Therefore, for removal of ignorance, for the knowledge to dawn, knowledge of the reality to rise, all that, this is the mind needs certain, the disposition of the mind must be taken care of, must be such that it needs to be pure and steady. For antakarna shuddhi, antakarna naishchalyam, again he knows the importance of antakarna shuddhi and antakarna naishchalyam. Again, the shastras talk so much about this, all our scriptures talk very highly of how to become mentally pure. If you see, all that we are doing is mainly for antakarna shuddhi and antakarna naishchalyam. The prayerful attitude, in doing everything, making everything which goes in, we want everything to be cleansed. To remind yourself of all that you do is ultimately for knowing the reality, to become freedom, to discover freedom which is already there, not to attain something which is not there. That is why if you see in India, when you get wake up, you have to pray. Okay, Karagre Vasate Lakshmi Karamadhye Saraswati Karamo Letu Govindaha Prabhate Karadarshanam. Again you remind yourself of Bhagavan. And for bathing, there is we have Gange, Chamune, Chaiva, Godavari, Saraswati, Narmade, Sinduka, Veri, Jalesmin, Sannidhim, Kuru. There is again, we know Ganga and all the holy rivers in one bucket full of water where you are living in a small flat. And you become, all the rivers have been bought just by invoking there, you make you sanctify it. Again, you remind yourself of Bhagavan and your goal and Jnanam and Moksha. The whole life is a spiritual life. Because based on spiritual vision, it's sanctified. And again, after that also you don't do. After shower or bath, again you have to go. And whatever you cook, give it to Bhagavan again. Okay, Brahma, Panam Brahma, Havihi. You offer it to Bhagavan. You don't eat before that. Bathing, you pray. Understand? Wake up, you pray. Walking, you pray. Sitting, you pray. Worship, think of Bhagavan. And before eating also, when you are very preoccupied, busy, very focused in action, you may forget. That is why, before starting your action, think of Bhagavan, then forget Bhagavan. Then you do your own work. The whole action becomes what? Isharpitam. Then Brahma Arpanam Brahma Havihi. And also when we eat also, Annapurna Dapurna Shankara Pranavalbe, oh Lord, please may this bhiksha be offered to me for, please bless me with Vairagyam and Jnana Vairagya Siddhyartham. Ultimately, look at this, ultimately to accomplish knowledge and dispassion required for knowledge. Dispassion implies the contemplative disposition of the mind also. Jnana Vairagya Siddhyartham Bhikshandehi. Please bless me with the food. By eating this food, I have to live this life, ultimately to accomplish what? To become dispassionate and to acquire Jnana. Just a prayer. Drink water, Achyutaya Namaha, Anantaya Namaha, Govindaya Namaha. We call it Achamanam. Why? Because every time you take a small H2O, okay, it may have a lot of problems, anything. People don't come and drink water in India, okay, where we take bottles and go. But I tell you, if any water we drink, we say Achyutaya, Om Achyutaya Namaha, Om Anantaya Namaha, Namatrayam. No way. Achyutaya Ananta Govinda, three words again. Three words imply the nature of reality. Salutations unto the Lord who is of this nature, Achyuta, Ananta, Govinda. Okay? And we say that. Why? Because it cleanses. A mantra, water taken with mantra becomes sanctified. The sanctified water taken in becomes medicine. Nama uchcharana bheshajati, bheshajam, it is medicine. Attitude, look at this. No, Achyuta, Ananta, Govinda, Nama uchcharana bheshajati. It's a bheshajam. Achyuta, Ananta, Govinda, Nama uchcharana bheshajam. Okay, if the water becomes medicine, even if it has virus and even if it has all bacteria, doesn't matter, it becomes still medicine. Why? It has been sanctified. With what? The chanting of names. What are the are not ordinary names? Every name is every word implies the nature of reality, which is a fact. Which is a fact. Achyuta is a fact about the nature of reality. Govinda is a fact because it's verifiable. I can explain how reality is Achyuta. I can explain now, unfold how reality is Govinda, how reality is Ananta. It's a fact about the nature of reality. It is verifiable here. It ought to matter to be believed also. Then you take that, because sanctified. Attitude again. Then you take that, becomes medicine, bheshajam, and that bheshajat, we say here, is cleansed. How does it cleanse? Namo charana bheshajat, nashyanti sakala rogaha. All the diseases get killed. How? It can really physically become some problems also. The water is unclean. But still, it implies ultimately the water, drinking the sanctified water which serves as medicine means it contributes for antakarna shuddhi, cleansing of the inner purification mind, which in fact in turn due course of time should result in jnana, which contributes for the jnana, which is really which will put end to all your problems. Bhavaroga. Understand? That is attitude. So drinking, then before going to bed again we pray. Everything, anything you do, begin your day, begin your work, begin any, inaugurate any function. Now anything you do it with the prayer. Begin with the prayer, live with the prayer, sleep with the prayer, die with the prayer. That is the thing. Prayer, the life is should be full of prayers. But that is very important. Even if you do, attitude is the attitude. Why? Because antakarna shuddhyartham, antakarna naishchalya praptyartham. Really, because antakarna shuddhi and antakarna naishchalyam, very, very important. We all know very well. Even if you want to do some nama japa, I tell you, sometimes you are very focused. When you sit for japa, mind goes here and there. Other times we are very, very focused. Sometimes when nothing is there, we are very focused. When something is really interesting what for you, when you do, you are so focused. When sometimes when you the food, when you eat what you like very much, you are very focused. Nothing can distract attention from what you are relishing. That is why we always say, any pleasure, object of pleasure holds your attention, you are so meditative. This is something people can describe also. If people like dance, they can describe so every bit of the dance. If they also have the knowledge of dance, they can explain every abhinayam, how it was expressed, the meaning of the word, everything they can do. The music they like, they can talk about the knowledge of music also, they can talk about the raga, alapana, how is it possible? The mind can do anything because they are focused. We are meditative. When you sit for japam, it goes here and there. That is why naischalyam, steadiness is very something. The single-pointedness of the mind is something difficult, which is very much important for, always to dwell upon the nature of reality, what you have understood in the class, to be in that, just to be with that. In fact, every time you dwell upon the nature of reality as unfolded in the class, you are not with anything. When you are not with anything, you are with yourself. That is why contemplation also implies what? Being with oneself. Being seated with oneself. Understand? That's when antakarna naishchalyam is important. And for antakarna naishchalyam, antakarna mental purity, definitely the mind which is, are the other petty things like envy, jealousy, hatred, and then the coarse nature, finding fault and always. These things are all really obstructing. Now they'll obstruct our growth, obstruct our, they obstruct us from uplifting us. Therefore, it's very important to take care of these negative things. That is why shuddhihi, agitation-free mind. Now, the steady mind, agitation-free mind, the pure mind is very important. Therefore, here when he is prayerful and worshipful also. For which, one has to really live a life of dharma. Prayerfully, worshipfully, and one has to be conscious of not transgressing the universal values, which are Ishvara again. There's no way of being in conformity with, being in tune with, in harmony with Ishvara, without living a life of values. That is why Ramaha, Vigrahavan, Dharmaha means what? Now, Rama is a personification of Dharma, means one of the meaning, words, meanings. But Dharma is, Rama stands for the universal law and order. That is why it's very important to live a life of values. That is why the spiritual person who is prayerful and worshipful, thereby who is religious, who is highly ethical, morally strong. Therefore, ethical one is say, and one who does not transgress the values knowingly. And then we can say the one who is ethical, religious and spiritual, one who is spiritual is definitely religious and ethical. Thereby we can make out he lives a life of karma yoga. He is the one who lives a life of karma yoga. And for such a person in due course of time, suppose sadhanas like japam, what I am saying, even when you are doing practicing this japam, if you are given to the practicing the japam of given nama, given mantra, the mind may go here and there, doesn't matter. When you start, always there will be starting trouble. After starting also, there will be some difficulties will be there. Just ignore those difficulties. Ignoring means what? Okay, not condemning, not finding fault with, okay, not feeling guilty about, oh, mind shouldn't go, my mind goes here and there. Don't feel guilty about it. Feel very free, be very free, start doing japam, you know everything, and pray also, oh Lord, please bless me with a focused mind. Please bless me to be able to do my japam with focused attention, my mind goes here and there. Pray for that, even praying also mind will go. Doesn't matter. Pray that karma should work sometime. Prayerfully start the japam. We want to do 54 times at least, not 108 times. Simple Namashivaya to say once, even one fraction of a second. And even to say 54 times is only 2 minutes, okay? Even for that, mind will go here and there. In 3 minutes time, mind goes here and there. Doesn't matter. Every time the mind goes, bring it back. But I tell you, with the Shraddha, the commitment, okay? When you sit and do the japam, doesn't matter, that will definitely help you. The Shraddha you have, the faith you have, the commitment you have, when you do that, doesn't matter, even if it goes, bring the mind back and do it, it will be useful, it will be effective. It will not be waste of time. That is why, suppose we say, Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namah Shivaya. I'm saying it loud enough for the sake of all of you to listen, hear me, okay? Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namah Shivaya. 9 times you have said, 10th time, 11th time mind goes somewhere. You're aware. Bring it. Bring the mind. Doesn't matter. Bring it again. Okay, you have chanted 12 times consciously and mechanically you say another 5 times. Again, you're aware of your japam becoming mechanical. Doesn't matter. Bring the attention back again. Try to do it. Slowly. Slowly. No, shanehi shanehi uparamet. Okay, shanehi shanehi uparamet. Don't be in a hurry. So, you can do that. And japam will, doesn't matter, whatever mantra you are chanting, whichever mantra you have taken from Swamiji or already you have been doing it, doesn't matter. That mantra, and keep on doing it. Mantra japa, in fact, is a pre-preparation for meditation, which will become meditation, which itself will, if the mantra is a proper mantra, which itself will help you for contemplation also. Which will itself, because Shastra, definitely will become contemplation also. Therefore, keep on doing it. Then, for such a person, the worship, for a spiritual person who is worshipful and prayerful, for whom worship and prayer also become yoga. Yoga, really, such a person, prayer comes to an end, worship comes to an end. They all culminate in jnanam, which is moksha, which comes to an end. And here, that is why, the question of bhakti comes. What about bhakti then? I've been talking to you many for a long time. Many times I talked to you, different occasions, different classes. What about bhakti then? And our shastra makes it very clear. We need not have any confusion about what shastram says. Any traditional teacher will definitely tell you the same thing. Pravritti, nivritti. Margadvayameva. One for preparation, one for the prepared. There's no choice. Nivritti margaha is for the prepared. Pravritti margaha is for preparation. Nobody is inferior. Nobody is prepared. Also, is not superior. The one who is getting prepared for the also is not inferior. And we say that is why karma yoga, karma yogaha, sannyasaha. Sannyasaha does not mean giving up anything here. Total commitment to the pursuit of knowledge, which implies one being totally dispassionate towards everything else, which is born of maturity, understanding of the limitations of things, that everything else, that's all. That is what is sannyasaha. Doesn't matter whether you are married or not married, whether you are wearing saffron robes or white robes or any other robes, how you look, how you live, what doesn't matter. It's all mind. Are you committed to the pursuit of knowledge totally? Yes. If you are committed to the pursuit of knowledge totally, that means you are committed to live a life of dharma and commit to study of shastram, committed to understand the subject matter of the shastram. Your mind is always in subject matter of the shastram, which is Ishvara, which is reality, not anywhere else. And which implies, what means? You are also contemplative always. Where contemplative always means what? You are dispassionate towards everything else. Why are you dispassionate? You have grown out of desire for everything else. Why? Because you know the limitations of everything else, that what you want cannot be given by anything else. So dispassion born of understanding of limitations of things, that they cannot give what you want in life. Naturally grow out of desire for things. There is simply maturity. That's all. That's all. These are the things which make one a sannyasi. Then you are a jnana yogi. Who's a jnana yogi? One who lives a life of contemplation, which implies one is committed to the study of shastram, or one has studied the shastram, one has understood subject matter of the shastram, one who keeps one's attention of the mind always in analyzing, in seeing, in subject matter of the shastram. One whose company becomes shastra subject matter. Sannyasi, he is contemplative, means how? Subject matter of the shastram is the company. Emotional, what is it which keeps the sadhu company? Subject matter of the shastram, which is one's own self. Understand? That is how, that is what is being contemplative. That makes a person sadhu, sannyasi. Doesn't matter, even if you're sitting with big family of wife and 10 children around, doesn't matter. What is sannyasi? Understood? No. Okay, we're not ready for that. Still have commitments and things. Well, live a life of karma yoga, pursue artha and kama. Still a karma yogi also is who? Commit to the pursuit of knowledge. That is why, please understand, one who is prepared, one who is already mentally prepared also is committed to the pursuit of knowledge. One who wants to prepare himself, prepare his mind for jnanam also is who? Committed to the pursuit of knowledge. That is why, whether you live a life of karma yoga or you live a life of sannyasa, life of, I don't know if it was sannyasa, live a life of contemplation. Karma yoga or live a life of contemplation, still both, who are committed to two different lifestyles also, are ultimately committed to the pursuit of knowledge, Ishvara. Therefore, understand now, for both ends, ultimate end is the same. For a karma yogi also, end is mokshaha jnanam. For a jnana yogi, for like person of contemplation also, his end is jnanam. End is the same. Two different lifestyles. One is for the prepared, one is for preparation. Preparing. Nobody is inferior, nobody is superior. Therefore, one who lives a life of karma yoga or one who lives a life of contemplation, for whom reality, knowledge of the reality is the ultimate end, which is mokshaha. Therefore, one who is committed to this pursuit of knowledge, he is a spiritual person. Karma yogi is a spiritual person. This person of contemplation is a spiritual person, definitely. Therefore, a spiritual person, now we say both of them, end is one and the same. And one who is this, the spiritual person is the real devotee. Understand? Love for knowledge of the truth, love for the knowledge of reality, love for the knowledge of Ishvara Bhagavan is in fact love for one's own self. Understand? Love for the pleased self is the real devotion. Understand? Love for the knowledge of reality, love for knowledge of Bhagavan, not love for Bhagavan. You fall in love with Bhagavan, it's a problem. Understand? Not Bhagavan as in any form. Love for the knowledge of Bhagavan. It's must say, parama prema, prema surupa bhaktihi means what? Bhakti, we say parama prema pravaha bhaktihi, says some bhakti sutram. Parama bhakti, prema pravaha means flow of love means what? Constant flow of love for knowledge means what? And it's then love for the knowledge of the truth. Love for knowledge is real devotion. That is why love for jnana is real devotion. And the one who has love for knowledge is committed to the pursuit of knowledge. One who wants to know who the Bhagavan is, who the Lord is, what this reality is, how, what is the nature of the reality, how it is, such a person is said to be Jignasu Bhaktaha. Jignasu Bhaktaha, I told you in the class already, Jignasu Bhaktaha means one who wants to know what the reality is, what is the nature of the reality. Who is Bhagavan? Jignasu Bhaktaha. I am not saying, Bhagavad Gita says this. Jignasu Bhaktaha, one who is desirous of knowing the truth. Jignasu itself means one who is desirous of knowing. Jignasa means desire to know. And Jignasu is one who has the desire to know. Jignasu Bhaktaha is the real devotee. And we say, one who has known, being a Jignasu Bhaktaha, either one lives as a karma yogi in order to prepare himself. Having got him prepared, he himself in due course of time becomes now a contemplative person, and which will result in jnanam. And once he has discovered the reality as a jnani bhaktaha, understand? A Jignasu Bhaktaha alone can become a jnani bhaktaha. Jnani bhaktaha is the best of the devotees. Because Bhagavan says, jnani to atmeva mimatam. Every jnani is as looked upon as Bhagavan, related to as Bhagavan. One who does not see anything other than in his eye, to the eye of knowledge, one who sees everything as Ishvara, such a person is a jnani. The jnani is what? Bhagavan. Jnani is a symbol of Bhagavan for us. That is why jnani is the best of the devotees. And the jignasa is the real devotee who can become the best of the devotees. And this jnani bhaktaha, who would have been a jignasa bhaktaha definitely, this jignasa bhaktaha, either a karma yogi or a contemplative sannyasi, and we say he is a real devotee, he is spiritual, he is religious, and he is ethical. And if the purushartha nischeha is not there at all, then comes the problem, okay? If there is no purushartha nischeha, if there is no commitment to the pursuit of knowledge, if there is no knowledge of value of values, what is that life? That is when we become manushya rupena mrigascharanti. Okay, in the form of human beings, animals only move around, move about in the form of human beings. Manushya rupena mrigascharanti. That is when purushartha nischaya is not there, then you become what? Your ultimate becomes definitely not moksha, not jnanam. Then the dharma also will be, you know, for your convenience. Then artha kamas will become the ultimate goal. If purushartha nischaya is not there, artha kamas, which should serve as pursuit of, which should serve as means, okay, become the ultimate ends. Means becomes the ultimate ends. The relative ends, which should serve as means for accomplishing the ultimate end, will become the ultimate ends. If artha kamas will become the ultimate ends, then you may not believe in Bhagavan at all. You may not believe in the reality. Mind will not be subtle, I tell you. Mind will be very gross. That person may be ethical, may not be ethical. May be religious, may not be religious. But definitely not spiritual. And such a person, if he is religious, whether he is ethical or not, he may be ethical, he may not be ethical. But if he is religious, he will be worshipful and prayerful. And what will he pray for, tell me? Without purushartha nischaya, if somebody is praying for something, what else can he pray for? Tell me. If purushartha nischaya is not there, what else can the person pray for? Maximum. Whatever he prays for must be for artha or for kama. And such a person is said to be artharthi bhaktaha. Understand? Artharthi. Artharthi means what? One who seeks Bhagavan's grace for his prosperity and pleasures. Nothing wrong, but I'm saying, just I want to understand the bhakti. Is bhakti a separate path? No. Artharthi bhaktaha. He is a devotee. As a karma, it is effective. He will be blessed with whatever he is praying for. He may not be, okay, that's also, that depends upon what he has in karma and all that. But it will not definitely, it will not take any more than, not take him anywhere apart from artha and kama. He will be bound forever. Oh, he is worshipping, he is praying still, purushartha nischaya is not there. Punya karma, worship and prayer, so he'll be bound forever. Unless and until, you know, knowledge is pursued. He is arthi bhakta. Artharthi, you can say arthi bhakta. Artharthi or arthi bhakta. And there are people who do not think of Bhagavan at all. Do not think of praying and worshipping. And lots of problems come in life, and only to get rid of some problems, then helplessly go and pray and worship. There's no purushartha nischaya. But just to, you know, those who seek Bhagavan's grace for just to get rid of the problems they have in life, the distress they're going through in life. Only when they are in distress, they pray. Only when they are distressed, they worship. Only the astrologer predicts him to do something, then he will do. Shanti. Such a person is called Artha Bhaktaha. Artha Bhaktaha is the one who worships and prays only when he has, you know, some problems in life. When he Artha means Tunburuhira Bhaktan. Okay, distressed. The suffering devotee. One who seeks Bhagavan's grace to get rid of, to be relieved of the suffering, is the distressed Artha Bhaktaha. And one who seeks Bhagavan's grace for only for Artha Kama is Arthi Bhaktaha. These two devotees who do not have Purushartha Nischayaha. They are devotees, that's all. Don't say anything about them. But real devotee is the one who can become the best of devotees. Jignyasu is the real devotee. A jnani is the best of the devotees. So Jignyasu is a spiritual person and jnani is the accomplished person. Understand? And anything you do, whatever you think as bhakti, going to temple, going to church, or praying at home, or worshipping, or as, you know, as part of it, as singing, or, you know, reciting, and sing bhajans, or doing anything, sotra chanting, mantra chanting, everything, every karma is useful, effective, very good. Because every karma is to, for antakarna shuddhi, and for antakarna ischalyam, and for, you know, for you to help, to, as a, serve as a discipline. Any action you do, serve as a discipline. To help you to become focused. Because you have to be, even in bhajan singing, you have to sit for 45 minutes or 1 hour focusing there. Mind goes here and there, again it's not. Okay? Even in singing, mind has to be there. Chanting, mind has to be there. So any karma is effective, but anything you do as an expression of your devotion, bhakti, that becomes only a karma, punya karma. It is not, doesn't become yoga if you do not have Purushartha Nischayaha. Make it very clear. If you have Purushartha Nischayaha, not only worship, whatever you do, you express your devotion, but whatever you do, any karma you do becomes yoga, worship. Any karma becomes worship if you have Purushartha Nischayaha. If you do not have Purushartha Nischayaha, even worship becomes mere binding karma. That's why work is worship means work is worship only if you have Purushartha Nischayaha. The whole life is worship if you have Purushartha Nischayaha. Life becomes worshipful life if you have Purushartha Nischayaha. If you do not have Purushartha Nischayaha, Purushartha Nischayaha is there but still not committed. That's a problem. Purushartha Nischeha must be there and commitment to that pursuit, Purushartha also must be there. Then you live your life, no, being committed to the accomplishment of that Purushartha. Then, I tell you, the whole life becomes worshipful, prayerful, ethical, no, religious life. Completely committed to the spiritual vision. Therefore, such a person is a spiritual person. Therefore, we can be very clear about this. Bhakti is not a separate thing. Path which leads to moksha. Many people tell me this. Oh, jnanam is too intellectual. Too intellectual. Too much of understanding. Too strenuous. However innocent and simple you are, I tell you, and still you can at least, even if it is difficult, you can ask for, this serious purusharthan is just very, very important. Then even if it's difficult for you to understand, some people feel, oh my God, my pratibandha is such, I've been studying for many, many, many years, nothing has happened. And something, the people want something to happen. That is the problem. If something happens, it will run away, go away from you. Nothing should happen, in fact. If something happens, it's a problem. Mental disorder can happen. Okay, something happens means mental disorder can happen. So you want to be healthy, Bhagavan should always give you some problems in between in life so that you are mentally healthy. Understand? You can be healthy, that's when you start thinking and all that. Really, that is why something should not happen, nothing can happen. Understanding or lack of understanding, that's the difference now. And whole life is lived just not to understand. And a little relaxed. That's why a spiritual person, a real devotee is very, very relaxed person. Because he understands Prarabdha, understands Karmaphalam, understands Ishvara, understands the efficacy of karma, prayer, and significance of worship, does what is possible, 100% totally committed to Dharma, Isharpana Buddhi, Prasada Buddhi, then he is very relaxed. That is why a karma yogi is a relatively relaxed person. Understand? As a jnana yogi, the man of person of contemplation also is more relatively relaxed. In fact, jnana is absolutely relaxed. Jnana is absolute relaxation. And karma, living a life of karma yoga or life of contemplation is relative relaxation. There is no relaxation otherwise, I tell you. Otherwise, we deceive ourselves. If we think we are relaxed, we are relaxed. There is difference, you know. In fact, very word bhakti, if you see, the root is bhaj. Bhaj. And for which you can say, bhajati is a verb. Bhajanam is a gerund. Bhakti is another noun, feminine word, noun. That is why it has knowing, reaching, attaining. Worshipping. It has all the meanings. Very amazing verb that is. Knowing. Knowing the Lord, knowing the truth is real bhakti. Through knowledge, uttering the Lord is also a real bhakti. The culmination of bhakti. Until that, worshipping and praying, confirmed with dharma, doing everything under dharma is what? It's also bhakti. Otherwise, what is bhakti? That bhakti is not here. This is what is bhakti according to Shastra. It's okay? I think I've finished. If you have anything, you can ask.
Just one small clarification. When you talked about mantra japa, you said it is preparatory for meditation.
Initially.
So when your mantra is Bhavanama, is that not meditation? Karma with?
That's what I'm saying. A mantra japa or a nama. See, nama itself become a mantra. A simple word like Rama Krishna can be a mantra. Or a sentence can be a mantra. You say, Om Namah Shivaya, long sentence. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, Om Shri Paramatmane Namaha. All mantras, a sentence is a mantra. Or Rama, Rama, Rama. One, that's also what one mantra. A word becomes a mantra also. That is why when you chant anything, japaha itself is what? Repeated utterance is called japa. Repetition is a japa. And repeat utterance is japa. Whether you say it orally or mentally. It can be a manasam japaha, manasa japaha, or it can be a vachika japaha also. Vachika manasa is more effective. Because it serves, it becomes meditation. See, initially start orally. Okay? Then slowly, you are a very, very distracted person, and so if you say loudly, then your mind can be there. And slowly you do it mentally. And even if you start doing it mentally, the tongue will move slowly inside. Very difficult, I tell you. And slowly the tongue movement also will stop inside. And then it becomes purely mental. If you just chant the nama, the meaning of the word being what it is definitely, it slowly called for antakarna shuddhi, antakarna naishchalyam, and it becomes sort of pre-preparation for meditation. Means, because meditation needs some single-pointedness, therefore initially it becomes pre-preparatory for meditation. And the same japa continued further for quite some time, then it becomes what? Meditation. If you do not know the meaning of what you are saying, you are mechanically saying, not knowing the meaning of the word also, it is effective. Even if you are chanting the Rama Japa, even if you do not know the meaning of the word, because the meaning of the word being what it is, it is effective. Therefore, it becomes meditation. It contributes for antakarana, nice chalyam and all that. Becomes meditation. And this Nama Japa, what happens, suppose along with the study of Shastram, when you have your, without study of Shastram, I will never say anything. Okay? Along with the study of understanding of object matter, of Shastram and all that, when you do this Japam also, even if you do not know what you're chanting, that meditation itself sort of helps, makes the mind subtle, helps it to grasp subject matter easily. Somewhere it contributes for the enhancement of the vision, the clarity. There's no doubt. But with the understanding of object matter of the Shastram, the japam which you are doing, if you also see the meaning of, if you can be with the attention of the mind, can be with the meaning of the mantra, that will become contemplation. Suppose, we say this, Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namah Shivaya. As a oral karma, as an oral activity, it's a pre-preparation for meditation. When you do it mentally, it becomes meditation. And same mantra, without knowing the meaning of saying, it really, the japam slowly, it helps you to be more focused, helps you to understand the grasp subject matter better. Definitely, it's very effective. So japa is the first thing one should do as a spiritual seeker. What one should do immediately is do japa. That is why now, those days, whether they know or not, all old people will be having hold of a mala sitting. In India. Japam is very important. And suppose if you know the meaning of the word Om Namah Shivaya, and as you say Om Namah Shivaya, then even you don't say Namah Shivaya, just Shiva. People don't want to hear anything wrong or bad, Shiva, they'll say that. Because the word Shiva is such a nice word for us, you can all call him. You call him by his name, so you'll all get punya. That is the purpose of naming every child with the name of the Lord also in India. Every name must be Bhagavan Nama. We can't simply name the word which we like. Every name must be Bhagavan Nama. Purposely, children will be named after many names of the Lord, so that even father or grandfather, even if they are completely forgetful of Bhagavan also, at least by calling the name of the person the time of death, at least we become accepted once Bhagavan Nama. He has many stories in Bhagavatam and all that. Anyway, I might go to those things. Now what I'm saying, suppose Shivaha, if you know the meaning, look at this, if you know the meaning of the word Shivaha, how can you know the meaning of the word Shivaha? If you have not understood this Satchitananda, etc., no? Definitely you can't understand. Now if you know, if you are exposed to Shastram, if I say, a Shivaha means auspiciousness. In fact, Shiva is the word, not even Shivaha. Shiva. Shiva, 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 Shiva. Okay. Shiva, and we can say Shivam or Shivaha or Shiva. In three genders also we have. We can say Shiva. It means auspiciousness. This is the meaning of the word Shiva. Can you see the meaning of the word Shiva? Come on. How you cannot see the meaning of the word consciousness or awareness? Pure awareness, not simply awareness, okay? Pure awareness or pure consciousness, pure knowledge. Can you see? Or Om Jnana Rupaya Namaha, Om Jnana Rupaya Namaha. What can you understand? If you know, we don't know what, how Bhagavan is of the nature of knowledge, what can you understand? That is why, if you are exposed to Shastra, if you have understood the meaning of the word auspiciousness. What is auspiciousness again? Nature of the reality. Swarupma of the reality. How timelessness, no, limitlessness, existence, knowing all nature of the reality. Similarly, we can say this auspiciousness also is nature of the reality. Okay, auspiciousness means what? Cambridge, Oxford dictionaries, can they give the meaning? Our Shastram says, no, Mangalam, Mangalam. And Mangala, Mangalam, Palla, Mangalam, Shivam, Shubham, Sham, Bhadram, Swasti, you know, all these are synonyms which mean the same meaning, same thing. Shankaraha, Shivankaraha, Shubhakaraha, Shivaha, all these words mean the same. What does it mean then? Auspiciousness means, our Shastra says, auspiciousness implies that which is auspicious, being auspicious. Any ness you have to take and say being, okay? Auspiciousness means being auspicious. Being auspicious means what? Being sorrowless. Being devoid of sorrow. Therefore, that which is devoid of sorrow, that which is sorrowless, that which does not cause sorrow, pain, agony, thunbam, okay, dukkam atradu, dukkate yerpaduthadu. Look at this, sorrowless, that which does not cause sorrow. And not only that which drives away sorrow. I have to say three things, okay? It must be sorrowless so that it cannot cause sorrow. Understand? It is very, very beautiful. The disturbed alone can cause disturbance. One who suffers alone can cause suffering. Okay? One who is troubled alone can cause trouble. Miserable alone can make others miserable. Understand? That is why we say here, that which is sorrowless, thereby that which does not cause sorrow, and not only that which can drive away sorrow also. That is the meaning of the word being auspicious. That which is auspicious, okay, is the sorrowless, sorrow, okay, Shivaha. This is what is Mangalam, this is the meaning of your word. Therefore, when you say what, now you can say, now you know what is pure consciousness, now you know what is the nature of reality. You understood the reality in terms of its swarupam as pure knowledge, as that which is of the nature of knowing. And that, we say, the reality which is of the nature of knowing, the consciousness, we say, is sorrowless. Does consciousness have any sorrow? Tell me now. Does consciousness have any sorrow? No. Is sorrow or agony or sadness or grief or misery, any degree of pain, is a state of mind which has its existence, which is in awareness. But awareness does not have any sorrow. Understand? Then, does consciousness cause sorrow? Tell me. No. Therefore, once you know what consciousness is, you can resolve the sorrow. Once you know H2O, you can resolve the wave in H2O. Similarly, once you know what consciousness is, you can resolve what? Sorrow. That's why that which drives away sorrow. Dukkamattrathu dukkathai yerpaduthathu dukkathai neekkavallathu. Understand? That is why we say auspicious. Therefore, Shivaha is another word which implies, only implication, okay? Which implies the swarupam of the reality. Another word. That is why we always are asked to do Sahasranam Archana for Bhagavan. Whether you know the meaning or not, somewhere or nalikal buddhila oreku, at least sometime, one day, you will somehow, one day it will slowly take you to the truth. Every day you do Om Shivaya Namaha, Om Govindaya Namaha, Narayana Namaha, Keshava. Now why we are asked to do Archana Namaha? Whether you know the meaning or not, keep on doing it. Every day do Archana, Sahasranam Archana. Why? Because every word is, every Bhagavan Nama, any name of the Lord, any word which implies the nature of the reality is to said to be the name of the Lord in here. We are asked to do Archana. Now use 108 times, 108 names of the Lord, 1008 names of the Lord. Laksha Archana, why? Not to know star and then think about another. Now I am fasting for one day, I am doing the puja, the better you get tired, no. What are you doing? Every name. Every archana is, that is why we have been doing. Why? Because every word is, whether you know the meaning or not, the word, every word, name of, which is said to be the name of the Lord, is a word, is a definition, which implies the swarupam of the reality. Understand? If you know that, then you are chanting, okay? Initially, Om Namah Shivaya is japa, pre-preparatory japa for meditation. And Om Namah Shivaya japa, done with great shraddha, becomes meditation because mind is focused. And because of this meditation, actually, the subject matter of you slowly see how it helps you to grasp the shastra better. It makes the mind subtle also. Because of commitment and shraddha, the devotion, everything. Lot of things, bhava also is important here. Nothing you do mechanically here. And suppose we also know this meaning. Now look at this, know this meaning. Shiva meaning also you know. Now, as you chant, if you can just see the awareness, seeing me, not seeing actually, can be with that, you are contemplating. You are contemplating, no? That is how mantra japa, initially it is pre-preparatory for meditation. Later it can be meditation. In fact, it can directly jump and become what? Contemplation also. Depends upon whether you see it.
So, what is the real meaning of the word Purusharthamitya? Is it just that the ultimate end is moksha?
Yeah. See, Purusharthanischeha.
Some people have decided, you know that Arthakama is the end. Is the one that the end. You know, what they are seeking.
No. That is why they may think of artha or kama as the ultimate goal. That's not a thing.
Yeah.
Here, if now one has to understand, purushartha nischeha means, that's why being definite. Nischeha means being definite.
Yeah.
How? By analyzing. One has to analyze what is artha, what it can give. What is kama, what it can give. What is dharma, what it can give, what it cannot give. And what is moksha. And then therefore, one has to, through all artha, kama, dharma and all of them, what I ultimately seek, I pursue artha for security, I pursue kama for pleasures, I live a life of dharma also, or it, no, ultimately, what do you want through all this? Through being secure, you know, by being secure, by enjoying pleasures, by living life of dharma, ultimately what do I want? I want a peaceful, that's what I'm saying. No. It's not a conclusion, it's a truth also.
Yeah.
You know, it's a truth. So, by analyzing, I want to be happy. You know, everybody wants to be ultimately happy. This understanding of the end being, you know, this is my ultimate
end
thing.
End being moksha.
Moksha.
Yeah.
Okay, so being definite. Am I interested only in artha, this wealth? Am I wanting only this security? If at all I want security, what do I seek through security? I want to be peaceful and happy. Now, what is it I ultimately want? This, by analyzing, one becomes very clear. That is, ultimately means not that last something which has to be attained last. Ultimate mean does not mean the last, not the final. Ultimate means through all these things, what I'm always seeking. What is it I'm ultimately seeking? What I want is, I want to be peaceful and happy. That's called freedom from limitations, freedom from problems, for moksha. Then there's no doubt about it. That's why one being definite about one's ultimate end being moksha is purushartha nischeha. Adi, முடிவாக நான் வேண்டுவது மோட்சத்தை தவிர வேறு எதுவும் இல்லை என்பதில் உறுதியாக இருத்தல், அதுதான் நிச்சயம். ஓகே, பீயிங் டெஃபினிட் அபவுட் ஒன்ஸ் என் பீயிங் மோக்ஷா, முடிவாக. ஸோ பொருள் ஈட்டுவதன் மூலம், இன்பங்கள் மூலம், அறத்தை கடைப்பிடித்து வாழ்வதன் மூலம் முடிவாக நான் என் மனம் தேடுவது எதை என்றால், நிறைவை தவிர எதுவும் இல்லை என்பதில் உறுதியாக இருப்பது. இப்போ நிறைவே நான் முடிவாக தேடுகிற ஒன்று என்பதில் உறுதியாக இருத்தல் இசை மோக்ஷா. சவுண்ட்ஸ் லைக் லாட்டின், டசன்ட் இட்? Yes, I didn't say anything different. Same thing, that's why I just want, for me, I have not to forget my language sometimes. I will not forget, but still I feel good, I'm able to speak sometimes. Sometimes I'm able to stuck. I get stuck, sometimes Tamil will not come at all. Sometimes I want to say so many things, I get stuck and only English will be coming sometimes. Mm-hmm. And then I don't think it comes. Very beautiful words. Very beautiful words, actually.
Fullness.
No, that is a definiteness. Nischehan is a definiteness. Being definite. Being definite. No, being doubtless about. Being clear about. The ultimate end being moksha is purushartha nischaya.
Nichyam is a Tamil word anyway.
Nichyam
is a Tamil word.
Sanskrit word. Like Sanskrit word, see, a lot of Sanskrit words, because why I am saying Sanskrit word? Chi is the root, I tell you, very interesting. Chi is the root. Chi means to collect. Chinoti means collect. Ni, when you add the prefix, nischinoti, decides. Being decisive, okay? Nischinoti decides. Like that. Chinoti, nischinoti, like that. Amazing. And if the root, add the prefix, the meaning changes. Then nischayaha is a noun. Chayaha is collection. Nischayaha is, decision. And being definite. இந்த உறுதியாக இருக்கு, இதுதான். ஐ ஹவ் நாட் ஹாவ் எனி டவுட். அந்த டவுட்லெஸ் கிளியர் நாலெட்ஜ் ஆஃப் த அல்டிமேட் என் பீங் மோக்ஷா இட் செல்ஃப், ஒன்லி தட் இஸ் தேர். தேர் கிளாரிட்டி மஸ்ட் பி தேர் ஃபர்ஸ்ட், தென் கமிட்மெண்ட் இஸ் பாசிபிள். சி, இஃப் சம்படி டெல்ஸ் திஸ் மெடிசன் வில் டெஃபினெட்லி நோ கியூர் யுவர் டிசீஸ், you will be 100% clear about it. Then only you will, without any now, you will take it. If a commitment to anything is possible only when you know the value of it. And when you are very clear about it, it will be effective. It is useful. It is what I want. That is what, that's why வாழ்க்கையில கடைசியில் என்னதான் வேணும் அப்படிங்கல. And then also choiceless. One more word I always say, nobody says this. Mamji always emphasizes choiceless. Choiceless means what? I want to be happy, there's no choice. What choice do you have?
But you will reach that conclusion only after you have gone through the Artha Kama and all these and found the fallacy.
No. Artha Kama, yeah. See, that is what I'm saying, not see, initially we pursue Artha Kama as an immature person. But even then, Artha Kama pursuit should not be stopped. Always it should be there. Artha Kama pursuit we need not stop. We cannot stop, in fact. Understand? Only understand the limitations. What Artha can do, what Artha cannot do, what Kama can do, what cannot do. Artha Kama pursuits, giving up of Artha Kama pursuit also is not good. Will not take us anywhere. At the same time, mere Artha Kama pursuit also is not enough. So Artha Kama had to be pursued. We got to live this life. But ultimately, what am I living this life for? No? That is why we say, so pursue Artha and Kama, therefore they become the relative ends which should serve as means to accomplish the ultimate end. That is why Dharma also is very important. Pursue Artha and Kama in conformity with Dharma, ultimately for Jnanam, which is Moksha. Why ultimately? The culminates. Culmination. That is why without Purusharthrishya nothing works. That is why I have been always talking. See how much, there is no use of studying so many Upanishads, Gita and here and that and all those things. Without having these things very clear. That is why today I thought I should tell you this in the class. We have been talking about Purusharthanischeha. Purusharth Vishetthil Urdhiyahir. Purusharthana, in ellame Purusharthana. Artha is a Purusharthana. Kama is a Purushartha. No, Purushartha means what? What is sought after by man? In fact, if you define this explanation, Purushena Arthyate iti Purushartha. Purushena by man, Manidanal, Arthyate, Thedapadavadu, Adayapadavendiyadu. Okay, that which is sought after by a man is what? That which is pursued by a human being. We don't need to talk about animal anymore. That which is pursued by a human being, that which is sought after by a human being, Purushena Arthyate. Manadanal Thedapaduvadu. Thedapaduvavai. Okay, Purushena Arthyate iti Purushartha. So therefore we say Purushartha, Purushartha, Purushartha. Now, a human pursuit we say. What is that which is sought after by man? Not only moksha, okay, everything is sought after. Everything is, when you're hungry, a jnani is not hungry or what? Tell me. He is free emotionally, he is free from all limitations. As long as stomach is there, hunger will be there, okay? There is dharma of the body. This is all misunderstanding. You know, people think, oh, jnani means he can just live on breathing, all mystic understanding. Okay, he is a mystic person, okay, be mystic, he doesn't need to eat anything, drink anything. How long? One day all slowly, they'll all start functioning and they'll die. If food is important, energy is always has to be, no? Energy has to be supplied. Food has to be eaten. And if he is ready to die. It's all foolish understanding. Now, many people have the understanding, Dr. Rajamasala. They think, okay, jnani means nothing need. A jnani also will be hungry as long as he has a stomach, as long as pranas are there, as long as the physical body is there, as long as he is alive, eat, drink. Understand? Therefore, doesn't matter. These things will be very clear. Therefore, Artha, for anybody, all these things are very important. Thirst will be there, hunger will be there. But only thing is, all the biological needs will be there. Any biological system, any physical system will have all the natural requirements, natural biological, physical needs are there. But a mature person can manage his needs and requirements, but not transgressing, going against values. That's all. But very, 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 very easily, effortlessly, the jnani can manage A mature person can manage one's things. That is why all these are important. Artha is also sought after. Not a sought after. Artha is a must. Kama is a must. Infrastructure is required to live this life. If you have to earn, food is a must, water is a must, you have to maintain your body clean and nice, you have to live in a safety place, so infrastructure is required or not. So artha is a must. One has to pursue artha. And kama, definitely the mind needs some change and relaxation, because routine activity involved in pursuing artha really make the person feel fatigued and tired. We need some changes. You have to listen to some music, listen to some dance, go out, one day outing, one day eating. All these pleasures also definitely, to keep you going, to manage your things. You need those pleasures. That is why kama. Kama means only pleasure, some changes. See, the change, anything change from your routine is what a pleasure. That's all. I can simply say to you, I can't make it much simpler than this. It's a pleasure. So that's also important. Nothing wrong in it. It's a must. And similarly, dharma we say, of course, dharma again it's a wide subject matter. Understanding Bhagavan, Ishwara as the universal law and order is the biggest understanding of dharma. But before that, knowing the values. And how values, values are there. Values are for human beings, not for animals. And we know that where there is knowledge of values, values are there. And where there is free will, there the values can be followed. So here the dharma again, being charitable, and then how you reaching out activities, through compassion, expression of compassion. It's all for dharma. And this dharma also is for what? Antakarna Shuddhi and Aishchalyam is really good. Because that is how mental purity and cleansing comes. Therefore, artha kama pursuits also what involves activity. And those activities, for the sake of pursuing artha and kama, should be in conformity with dharma. That is why dharma also is always, in Tamil we say, we never say porul inbam aram. We always say dharma artha kama moksha. Why? Because dharma should govern a pursuit of artha and kama ultimately for moksha. If dharma artha kama moksha we say, we never say artha kama dharma moksha. Here for the sake of teaching, I always put dharma as a third. Really speaking, dharma artha kama moksha means what? Dharma should govern all your activities which involved in pursuit of artha kama. Why? Because ultimately what you need to attain is moksha. Therefore artha kamas are must. They are inevitable, understand, but they are relative ends. Even though they are looked upon as ends, they are relative ends. Why they are relative ends? Because they serve as means. For what? For the ultimate end. What is the ultimate end? Moksha. Which is discovering the freedom or the happiness, limitlessness, which is there already as the surupam of the reality. Fullness. Nirev. Therefore, we analyze all this, then you say, what is it ultimate? Okay, param purusharthaha. What is the param purusharthaha? What is the samanya purusharthaha? For artha, kama, dharma are relative ends. Moksha is the ultimate end. And you dismiss how, other than discover. Once you discover this, and this, there's no choice. I have no choice. I cannot say, I don't want moksha. I don't want to be happy. I don't mind being unhappy. We can never say, all of us want always that. That is why it's a choiceless. I told you it's a natural emotional urge. I want to be happy is a natural emotional urge. There's no choice. When you're hungry, you say, I want to eat. Do you have any choice about it other than eating to appease your hunger? Nothing else you can do. You have to eat the food. What choice do you have to appease your hunger other than eating? Similarly, I want to be happy is a natural emotional urge. What choice do you have other than knowing? Understand? That is what we say. This is what being clear about. So all the purusharthas are important. What are relative? How they serve as means? Non-purushartha-kama dharma will not help you attain anything. First of artha-kama also is not enough. Ultimately, I need to pursue knowledge which is moksha. In fact, the very life is lived pursuing artha, kama, dharma, ultimately to know, to know the reality. That is when the mind becomes quiet. I tell you, the restlessness of the mind. The mind is, I tell you, always restless. So all the problems of the mind, disturbance. The mind itself is a disturbance. You know that manifestation of disturbance is mind. You know that? Mind is expression of disturbance. The very mind, I tell you. That is, we want to say mind, disturbed mind. Mind itself is expression of disturbance. Really speaking, in other ways I can say very profound, that is, I mean it. And that's why this mind to become calm, resolved. Knowledge is the only dose. Understand? That is why Brahmastra. Brahmastra means what? Brahma jnana meva astram. Knowledge of reality is the only astram which Bhagavan has to take and to destroy this demon of ignorance. That is, what is Purushartha Nischayaha? At least this session, I think, must have made it very clear. So, anything else? Yeah.
This morning you mentioned different pramanas, different means of knowledge.
Yeah.
I remember in one of the previous classes you also talked about immediate, the only way you can know the subject
is immediate
knowledge. But how do you...
I was thinking something I forgot to tell you in the class. Now I remember what is I tell you. Actually, I was mentioning, that is, I told you about knowledge. No? See, pratyaksha pramanam is a perception. The perception being used as means of knowledge. Okay, perception through senses is a means of knowledge. But there I talked about pratyaksha jnanam. Pratyaksha jnanam is direct knowledge. And perception being used as means of knowledge here. Through the senses. This is perception. Pratyaksha pramanam is using senses to perceive objects. Okay? It's pratyaksha pramanam. Directly you see and hear, etc. But pratyaksha jnana means direct knowledge. See, through pratyaksha pramanam, the knowledge you gain of an object is pratyaksha jnanam. The knowledge one gains, knowledge of a given object gained through using the pratyaksha pramanam is pratyaksha jnanam, direct knowledge. So the perception, results in what? Direct knowledge. Perception of a given object, through any one of the sense organs, is what? Pratyaksha jnanam, direct knowledge. I see myself. This is direct knowledge. But sometimes what happens, indirect knowledge is also, this called pratyaksha jnanam. I do not see directly myself, but I can say indirect knowledge. Okay? Suppose you went for a cruise, came back, you told me how beautiful the caves looked, the ice looked, everything. You explained to me everything. And I hear from you everything, I go back and tell Sheila Ma. See, doctor and Dr. Ma, they went to Canada, somewhere, where did you go?
Alaska.
And then they went to Alaska for a holiday, and you gave me the nice picture of, whole picture of, beautiful picture of all that you have seen. I only heard from you, okay? And I imprint everything. I go and tell her the whole thing. As if I've seen. Okay? I haven't seen anything. Still I have knowledge, without having seen directly, but still I could give a nice, I could picturize the whole thing from the knowledge what I gained through you. It's not first hand, okay? It's direct. But it is indirect.
So he talks of a jackfruit, explanation of a jackfruit, and then, to an Englishman, you explain what a jackfruit is. Until he goes to India and experiences the jackfruit, he doesn't know that it is jackfruit till oh, it's a nice jackfruit. I was told about this jackfruit. And then when he ate that, the other person said, this is what you are eating. The jackfruit is the one that you are eating. So that becomes direct knowledge after that, isn't it?
Yeah, this is indirect knowledge. Okay? So pratyaksha jnanam means the direct knowledge one gains through perception, direct perception. Okay. And when I hear from you and I tell, now for me also is what? Indirect knowledge. For her also is what? Indirect knowledge. Why? Because she heard it from me, I heard it from you. We both haven't seen Alaska, but still we have knowledge of Alaska. Understand? That knowledge is what? No, it's only not pratyaksha, paroksha jnanam. They are not a means of knowledge here. The knowledge, okay, but all knowledge is called what? Not the pramanam, but some knowledge, jnanam that is. So pratyaksha jnanam is a direct knowledge. Paroksha jnanam is an indirect knowledge. My knowledge of Alaska, Srila Mahajan's knowledge of Alaska is paroksha jnanam. Your knowledge of Alaska is pratyaksha jnanam, because you see it directly. But we say Atma Jnanam is neither Pratyaksha Jnanam nor Paroksha Jnanam. Knowledge of the self is neither direct knowledge nor indirect knowledge. Why? Because we call it what? Aparoksha Jnanam. Neither Pratyaksha Jnanam nor Paroksha Jnanam, but it is Aparoksha Jnanam. Why we say that? A pratyaksha jnanam or paroksha jnanam can be jnanam of an object. Knowledge of an object, it can be what? Direct or indirect. But knowledge of the subject is neither pratyaksham nor aparoksham. It is aparoksham, immediate. Knowledge of the immediate reality is what? Because the knower known distance is not there. If the knower known distance is there, there's distance between the knower and the known, then that is what? Paroksham or pratyaksham. But there's not distance, the knower and the known, then it is aparoksham. That is why knowledge of the immediate truth is what? Immediate knowledge is, we use the word immediate, okay?
Why is it called immediate?
Because not distancelessness. Immediacy. See, because we have no words in English. See, English is not adequate, really expressive. That is the problem. We say immediate knowledge. Immediate is the word. That's why we have to better learn aparoksha jnana. Neither pratyaksham nor paroksham, it is aparoksham. Immediate. This is jnanam. But the pramanas, yeah. Actually, I was thinking I should talk about this. When I thought about it, I was thinking something happened because I was, with the time conscious, I was talking. And I stopped abruptly somewhere, so when I forgot it. Thank God you reminded me. I was thinking, I want to mention this today. I forgot it, and then thanks, doctor, you reminded me. It's good.
Regarding the same thing, Anumanam. Is inference based on perception?
Yeah.
Or is it inference based on the presence of perception as well as the absence of perception?
Anything.
Yeah.
Anything. No.
You can
no. See, the inference can be based on perception of something which is or which is not. That's okay. That's okay. Both.
Both, yeah.
Over? It's okay. Okay, shall I conclude now?
Yeah.
Always ours will be incomplete, okay? We have so much to talk. So, okay, we will discuss when we meet again. I think these type of things we should meet together and then discuss so that a lot of things can be cleared. And the classes, we stick to the text and all that. But I always pray, I request all of you, any confusion, anything is that doesn't matter, we just leave aside. If you understand not also, doesn't matter, we leave aside. We'll just patiently continue with the study. See, whatever is, whether this 2 days program has enhanced some clarity or not, or something is useful or not, what doesn't matter. Whatever you have heard today with Shraddha, definitely it is useful. whether it has improved or not. It's not a waste of time. And then you let us be with that, with the continue with the study, with the Shraddha, prayerfully, definitely, definitely, I promise you, it will take us. Now, it will really enhance our clarity. So with that, faith in Bhagavan, faith in the fact and truth, and I pray that Bhagavan should bless you, all of you, with a real commitment, with a real understanding of Purusharth Nishchaya, with a real commitment to the pursuit of knowledge, and Bhagavan should place really in a conducive atmosphere where without any obstacles you can pursue this knowledge. Okay, mainly all of us, all people known to you, all of us should be blessed with good physical health, mental health, and also long life, and all that we need for life to live, to pursue this without any difficulties. Om Swasti Prajabhyav Paripalayantam Nyayena Margena Mahimahishah Gobrahmane Bhyashubhamastu Nityam Loka Samasta Sukhino Bhavantu Loka Samasta Sukhino Bhavantu Loka Samasta Sukhino Bhavantu Kale Varshatu Parjanyaha Prithivi Sasya Shalini Desho Yamsho Bharahitaha Brahmana Santu Nirbhayaha Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha Sarve Santu Niramayaha Sarve Santu Niramayaha Sarve Santu Niramayaha Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu Ma Kaschid Dukkha Bhag Bhavet Ma Kaschid Dukkha Bhag Bhavet Ma Kaschid Dukkha Bhag Bhavet Om Asato Ma Sadgamaya Tamaso Ma Jyotirgamaya Mrityor Ma Amritangamaya Om Shanti 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 Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om